Today we have online with us Indian High Commissioner in Australia, Mr. Navdeep Suri, and we're going to have a chat with him regarding the recent visa scams that have come to light. Welcome to the show, Mr. Suri.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Suri, how many cases are you aware of at the moment regarding the visa scams?
About 20.
About 20?
Yeah. You know, we started hearing about these almost a year back, and we immediately put a notice on our website. We posted it on our Facebook page, and we brought it to the attention of the Australian government to say that this is a serious matter. Then when we got several queries on this in April, if you, in fact, go to our website, you will see that right on the home page, we put something called Scam Alert. Mm. And if you click that, it takes you to an advisory. And below that, we've said that please give us the information on a certain email address. And we've also put the link of the Department of Immigration and Border Protection because they are also concerned about this. So we've given the link on our website so that you can go there and give them more information.
We are aware of that there are all these disclaimers and scam alerts over there, but somehow it seems like that people actually don't know about these scams or scam alerts, and there has to be some sort of awareness that reaches them. But coming back to the scams, all these scams are happening in the name of VFS.
No, that's not true. There are three categories of complaints that we have received. Those that claim to be have received a call from the High Commission or from one of our consulates, those that have received from VFS, and occasionally those who claim to have received from Department of Immigration.
And all these people, all these callers, they're calling these people, they seem to have a lot of sensitive information about the people. Yes, so how sure are you that VFS data is secure?
What I do want to say is that from the very careful tabulation that we have done of the various calls that we've received, in more than half the cases, the callers had been given information about, for example, the date of arrival in Australia, or the port of entry, or other information that neither the High Commission nor the VFS is privy to. In some cases, we checked, these applicants had never approached either VFS or the High Commission or its consulates for any service. So from our records, we were able to check that some of the people who received the scam calls had zero interface with the High Commission or the VFS. So the person who is doing the scam is simply using the name of the High Commission or VFS to extort the money. And these days, it's pretty easy, unfortunately, to spoof any number, including yours.
Yeah, we are aware of the spoofing scam, and one of our committee members, Jatinder, actually did receive a phone call from the same number as the VFS. So we are aware of that. But there are some cases where they only know, like, the passport number or the name of the person. So I'll come back to my same question. So how sure are you that VFS's data is safe?
I think you've already spoken with VFS. The reason we are pretty sure that it's not VFS or the High Commission, as I said, is because in more than half the cases, the people who were scammed have not taken any service from us or have received queries about information that is not available with either VFS or with us. That means that there are third possibilities that need to be looked at. And I have to emphasize that this is not happening just in Australia. It's also happening in Canada. It's happening in UK. It's happening in other countries.
Any thoughts on...
So clearly there's a gang at work on this, which is targeting newly arrived migrants in multiple countries. When we receive this information, I think that's crucial. What do we do with it? First and foremost, we use all our outlets, and that means our Facebook page, our Twitter account, our website, to alert people that beware. Nobody from our side or from VFS has any legitimate business to make a call like this to you. The second thing that we do is use our networks with the Indian community organizations to spread the word, and several community newsletters have carried the information that we provided. Community newspapers have carried the information that we provided. The Third is bring it to the attention of the Australian authorities, because at the end of the day, we have no law enforcement authority. The best that we can do is report this to the Department of Foreign Affairs and to the Australian Federal Police. And that's what we've done in every case that we receive. And when we don't get a response, we've given them a tabulated sheet. Look, these are the calls that we have received, and these deserve investigation by the Australian police authorities into what's going on. So that, it's an investigative agency's job to find where is the data leaking from, where are the calls originating from, so that the criminals can be tracked down.
If it's not the VFS or the High Commission, any thoughts on where the data might be coming from?
I think it's reasonable that when a foreigner enters Australia, who are the people who have access to the information?
Yeah, there could be a few people.
Right. The first point of entry is Australian Border Patrol, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's why we flagged it to the Australian side, that perhaps it's important for them to also try and check it into this and to see. You know, we want to work closely with everybody, and we even flagged it to the Indian side that if the payments are being routed into India, then we need to do the similar investigation at the Indian side also to find where it is going. So, you know, that's all of the stuff that we are doing to put an end to it, because we recognize it's a very sensitive matter. At the end of the day, it's harassment of individuals, Indian nationals, and several of them who've been fleeced. And it brings us a bad name.
It certainly does. And there is a worry in the community, you know, that why and how this is happening. So this.
But please, can I request you, SBS, to also play a role in this by putting out two clear categorical messages. First, that neither the High Commission or its consulates nor VFS would ever call on such a matter. Second, that even if people receive a call, they should not just get stampeded into giving money to some bogus entity. So people need to be more wary, more vigilant that this is a fraud being perpetrated.
We are trying to put out that message, and when we talked to VFS as well, we've put all your disclaimers and scam alerts on
it. It's not a disclaimer, it is a warning.
No, yes, there are disclaimers and there are warnings and there are scam alerts, and we've tried to put all of them on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, like you just mentioned, all these people that are being scammed are newly arrivals, which means they are Indian citizens, and the main part of the scam is that they are being fleeced of money. This money has been sent to India. You are saying that you are alerting the Indian authorities in this regard as well, but how much weight is the Indian High Commission putting behind it to chase up this matter? Because Indian High Commission in Australia, they are responsible towards the Indian citizens who come here, and the money is going back into India. So what exact steps are you taking? Because most of the money is going to Western Union, and people are supposed to show an identification to collect the money. So that is traceable.
Yeah. So as I said, we've passed on this information to the investigative agencies in India. We've shared the information with the investigative agencies in Australia.
Mm.
We are ourselves not an investigative agency, so we have to rely on the efforts of the others who have the authority and the jurisdiction to be able to investigate. And I must say that for every call that we get of people who've been scammed, we also get two or three others who said that I got a call, but I didn't fall for it, right? So it's also important to recognize that people who are vigilant and alert are able to ward off. And I just think that we need to build awareness into the community, and institutions like SBS can play an extremely important role in adding to our own efforts to make sure that the information gets as widely disseminated as possible.
You said you've been aware of these scams since last year, and you've been alerting the authorities. Have you had any success so far?
Not so far. Neither from the Australian side. The Indian side, we've invoked relatively recently, because it's only recently that we got to know that the manner in which Western Union is being used.
Yep.
So we've flagged it to the Indian side, but they need obviously more information about what happened at this end, because the money is going from here.
Okay. Lastly, any message you want to put out to the community?
Yes, just two clear and categorical things. First, beware, neither the High Commission, nor our consulates, nor VFS have any business, any authority, or any interest in making such calls to Indian nationals. If you get one in our name, please recognize that it's a bogus call. Second, if you are here legally and legitimately, why are you panicking? Why are you falling for these scams as if somebody can get you into trouble? You should basically, if you get a call like that, please divert it to the High Commission. Send us a mail. We've put the details on our website. Send us a mail as well.
Right. I think from the people that we've talked to, they've said something like, oh, you by mistake put the wrong date in. And because they're newly arrived and they're threatened to be deported, I think that sets a panic attack into them. And that's where, you know, they fall victim. But we are trying to put the information out. And thanks for your time today as well, Mr. Suri.
Absolutely. Very happy that SBS has taken the initiative in this. And it only supports our efforts.
Sure. Not a problem. Happy to do that. Thanks for your time.
All the best. Bye-bye.